intended for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. We're out here in Wilmington, North Carolina. We're both doing Dawson's Creek this week. And Drew blew into town about 4 or 5 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Drew?
Literally.
And Drew's got a little gas tonight, as he mentioned to me before the show.
I thought you'd be proud of me, Adam. I really did.
Something he may have eaten at dinner. But, Drew, when you came into town and you left the airport, did you notice that the first thing you saw was the prison?
Yes, prison was right there.
And the second thing was the sewage treatment plant.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't see
that.
So
if you haven't been to Wilmington, you got to come on down. Because the person who's driving is like, yeah. I'm like, hey, why is that barbed wire around that school? That's a prison. And what are those buried tanks? Are the missile silo? That's the sewage treatment. I'm like, and I swear to Christ, they're about 200 yards away. That's the graveyard. I'm like, well, I'd just like to get out of the car now, because where are we heading into now? We heading to like Satan's Den now, or the abyss? Like, are we just going into the ocean?
What I find even more interesting is that I come to the South a fair amount, and I'm very interested in Civil War history and stuff. And you come to the South, and you go, well, what? You know, there's plaques everywhere and statues. And I'm asking lots of questions. What's this? George Washington slept here. Robert E. Lee. Yeah, everyone's like, I really don't know.
Well, they know, but it's like, as a Rams fan, when people ask me what went on in the 79 Super Bowl, I'm like, Pittsburgh won. That's all I can remember. They're bitter. The wound is still, it's a fresh wound, Drew. They don't want to talk about it.
I think it's that the North so annihilated things that most people that are here are transported here.
No, they don't need you, Dr. Yankees, coming in from La La Land and making fun of them over their recent loss in the Civil War. That's what's going on, Drew. You just have no Southern etiquette.
The most vivid expression of that for me was going to Atlanta and saying, well, I want to see something. They're like, Civil War? Atlanta?
Well, there's where they bottle Coke.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's where the Hawks used to play.
Here's Emory.
All right, so we're out here in Wilmington, and we're having a delightful time. I was on the set all day today, and Drew's coming on the set tomorrow, and I got a nice early call time. So
have a good time. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, in case anybody's interested. This is Michelle's 33.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. I just had a bone to pick with Adam about community colleges.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. I have to say that I am a graduate of a community college. I hold an associate degree in science.
Hold on. Already difficulty pronouncing college.
Cudgel.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes.
You can't articulate yourself any better than that.
I will try from now on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Like I said, I hold an associate degree in science, and I'm a registered nurse here in Minnesota.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Something to say about that, she's saying.
Well, I was going to say.
He has a lot to say about that, unfortunately.
Well, nurses are always a little nutty.
Okay.
But
in the best way.
No, not necessarily. But I will say that in junior college, a lot of people seem to go in there for like a nursing program.
Yes, there are nursing programs.
And that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And I'm glad you brought this up, Michelle, because I will say this. If you're heading to junior college for something very specific, like some nursing program or some degree in it, you know, some mechanical thing or something like that, like if you're
that
treating
you can only
it
get through that.
Almost like a trade school,
yeah.
I'm fine with that. It's the general slackers that didn't do well in high school that think they're going to round themselves out. But
you went there
for nursing?
Yes, I did, specifically.
And you graduated the program in 2 years?
I did.
All right. Well, listen, I have no quarrel with you. And I'll make an exemption for the nurses who go into the junior college program, because it does seem like many people do that. Drew, do they even have? Thank you, Drew.
Is good.
Do they even have a? They have that regular colleges.
Yeah, some schools.
Yeah,
some schools school nursing.
All right,
here we go. Here's.
They still should be abolished and turned into work camps.
There's Van, who's 21. Van.
Yeah, I have a sort of unusual problem for a woman. I cannot have an orgasm with someone that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the relationship...
Not that unusual.
Not that unusual at all, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a few of these lately.
Yeah, it's really people that can't be vulnerable in a relationship. They have difficulty being open and showing that part of themselves that makes them feel vulnerable and sexual, and so they can only be that with somebody they don't care about. It's a part of yourself that maybe makes you feel uncomfortable or guilty or dirty or something, and so you don't show it to anybody you really like. Stakes are too high.
Yeah. Does that sound like you, Van?
I don't know. I mean, I was in a really long-term relationship. We were together 5 years. I was multi-orgasmic. But as soon as it started going... It only started as soon as it started going bad. I can't say I'm really afraid of a relationship.
Hmm. So the orgasms started going when the relationship started going?
Yeah, when the relationship started going bad the last year. I mean, 5 minutes and I was good.
So when there's aggression and conflict, that's when you're good.
Yeah.
What?
That's when she orgasms, when things are bad.
Yes. Oh, when the relationship started going bad, she started having
right, that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, again, you're making the same point I was making, but let's turn it around and look at it from the other angle, which would be that the powerlessness of trauma of being in a highly chaotic or highly charged, you know, aggressive family system increases your attachment needs and draws you to people that create those kinds of emotions, and that's now your attraction and your sexuality is sort of triggered by those kinds of experiences, you see?
Okay, with a nice guy?
Well, did you have that kind of family?
Sort of, yeah. Daddy left when I was 2. Got a new daddy. He left when I was 9.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, so a lot of people abandoning you, or males, that is.
Right, and so if you show this, you figure, see, that part of you that was a child at the time felt that she was responsible for these males leaving. So if you show some part of yourself that you're hiding, they're going to leave. That's your fantasy.
All right, so here's the deal. I don't know, therapy. I mean, it'll work its way out too. You're 21, but it never may fully and completely do this. You might just have to get into one of those relationships. I mean, Drew, get rid of her, but let me talk to you for a second. Right. Drew, you're in a relationship yourself that has a little bit of energy to it, but it's within the boundaries of sane.
It works, yeah.
And it works,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, your wife's a little nutty, a little bit, got a little energy, but
how about me?
No,
I'm not nutty.
You're screwy, but that's not nutty.
Okay, I see.
Screwy
and nutty goes together, right?
Yeah, but screwy is nutty with a bullhorn. No, nutty is screwy with a bullhorn. You're nutty, but no one knows it. Your wife's nutty, and the whole neighborhood's got it.
That's how things fit, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Once in a while, and this may be the case with Van, she may need to find somebody.
I call it homeostasis. She'll find something that works for her, or she'll keep making chaotic choices and things that don't work. I mean, this is one of the sort of arguments about romantic passion, which is that it has to have a little bit of the unfinished business of childhood to really be renewing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the basis of romantic love in many situations.
Yeah, it's almost like a sport has to have the element of injury to make it exciting.
That's right.
If somebody padded everything, put a helmet on you, and put a safety cord on you, and put a harness on you would, everything like that.
You wouldn't be interested.
It wouldn't be very exciting after the first couple of runs, and certainly no one would want to watch.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So people,
so I like to watch you and
I know
wife.
That.
That's
You've
what I'm
always mentioned
about.
That. But.
All right.
All right, this is Chris, 20.
Yo, am I on?
Chris. Yeah.
What up, Adam? You're a god, man.
Thanks, all right. Chris.
So, this weekend, we were drinking a lot. My friend had a dart, and he threw it towards my other friend. It didn't mean to hit him, but it went in his arm.
And wait, Chris. He threw the dart at your screwball friend, didn't mean to hit him, but threw the dart right at him sufficiently to put the dart into his arm. Of course he meant to hit him. Was he loaded or something?
Yeah, we were drinking a lot.
Drunken screwballs.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Lucky hit him in the eye.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid. I agree.
All right.
But, so, we're like, oh, that's pretty cool. So we started doing it repeatedly. But, you know, like we put like a box in front of our head, so it wouldn't hit our head and, like, in front of our body. So we're just throwing it right into our shoulders, basically.
Right.
And so we're throwing the same dart back and forth, and I find out later that one of my friends has herpes. And I want to know if I could have gotten it that way, because it's basically like sharing a needle.
It is exactly like sharing a needle. You could have hit an artery and bled to death. You could have
have
punctured a lung easily, really easily.
Sure, you could tip back on that chair. The mic cord could get wrapped around your neck, and you could die there.
The artery is
a goddamn thing any one of us could do or would want to do. About
artery
it.
In the arm is about an inch down. That's where you. That's where they were just enough to hit that. That's serious.
Inch down.
Yes.
Give me a break. That's
it. Is use swords.
All right. Look. You're fine. You don't now because
herpes is not herpes is a rash, and it's a contact transmission. It's not a bloodborne. But God only knows what else you might have contracted from your buddies.
What, like AIDS or like what else?
Like hepatitis C, AIDS. I mean, you should actually be tested.
Oh, please.
For hepatitis C, for sure.
They're fine.
Takes a few weeks for that to evolve.
I get rid of this guy. He's fine. You know what always cracks me up is the baseball game on the back of the dartboard that no one has ever played in a billion, zillion years.
Ever.
I've never even seen it facing out. I've never seen it even flip that way.
Yeah.
Somebody at the dartboard place had a revelation when it decided to
do it. No, they just had an extra stencil or something.
You think so?
Threw it up there. Oh, yeah. Joe, we got to put something on the back of this thing.
I mean... That caught on like that was like worse idea than the metric system and 8-track all put together.
Joe,
in
it's
beta.
It's America's favorite pastime. We'll just put it on the back of the dartboard.
And you think it would be better than actually just throwing it at a group of hoops that got smaller toward the center? Hey, Drew, I want to bring up something last night.
Yeah.
It's really got nothing to do with anything, but it just I don't know. I was thinking about it last night when we were talking about what was the band on last night?
Atari.
Oh, the Ataris, yeah. And they're playing at the Troubadour, which is right next door to a restaurant, Dan Tana's.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan Tana's is the old Italian place on Santa Monica out here in Los Angeles. And it's the restaurant that Phil Spector went to before he went out and picked the chick up and shot her.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they were showing pictures from the outside. Wow. I recognize it. But the thing that's really cool, and if something ever goes south in my life, like I shoot some bartender or something back at my estate, this is the greatest thing ever, and this is makes me think it's premeditated on his. They pulled his receipt from Dan Tanis that night. He had like a $47 bill with a $500 tip written in.
What?
And I was watching the special on Phil Spector, and I was like, and it's like, well, he's eccentric, and he's manic depressive, and I was like, holy Christ, a $500 tip on a $48 check? This guy's a saint. I was like, wow, what a guy this guy's. I mean, $500,
oh
my God. He tips 1,000%, this guy. And I thought, and I just couldn't get past it for the rest of the show. And I thought, no matter what happens with Phil Spector, what happens in the trial, if he's guilty, if he dies of syphilis in prison, all over the news was him giving a $500 tip on a $47 check.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's bipolar. That's manic depression.
All right. But
that's
I could not be on that jury. I could not find a man guilty who would tip someone $500. And ironically, then go out and shoot barmaid who's basically the same person he just left the tip for. I would argue this.
Oh,
is,
really? She's the one?
Well, no, she's not the one, but I'm saying I would argue
if
I was his lawyer. Your Honor, this man obviously has a great love for the service industry. I mean, look what kind of tipper he is. He wouldn't shoot somebody who survived on tips. Mm. He loved these people.
You think she's a prostitute? Is that what you're saying?
I have some theories, Drew, I can't talk about just yet, but I just couldn't believe the fact that he put $500 down on less than $50. And how excited would you be when Phil Spector walked in there again as a waiter? Holy Christ.
Beat the crap out of your friends.
This guy gives you a horrible tip. You get $175 on like a $30 meal, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Here's Sherry. She is 17. Sherry.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good.
Good. Well, before my question, I just wanted to say that, Adam, you totally inspired me to lose, like, 65 pounds, because I remember some girl called in about her nipples or something, and you said, it doesn't matter, are you fat? And she's like, yeah, and he's like, okay, work on that. So she worked on that.
Oh, see,
and
whatever.
You're fat.
Oh, Drew, please.
I used to be. I'm not
anymore. How much did you weigh?
I weighed like 220.
How'd you lose the weight?
I went through a program with my doctor on Exenical and Meridia, but I stopped that about 4 months ago, and I'm about a size 8 now. And
great. Congratulations. Nice.
Yeah, thank you. But that's not my question.
Now, what's size 8? Size 8 is sort of medium?
Medium, yeah. Small, really.
No.
It's
sample size.
No.
8 is sample size, right?
Now, we've argued about this before, Drew. And of
course, yeah,
I know. Anne jumped in on your side.
I know.
she wanted to argue on.
I mean, their sample size
were pixies,
yeah.
but small is like, you know, there's models and stuff. They're wearing like 4s and 2s.
Oh,
2s. And
yeah, 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 yeah.
Sample size.
I mean, sure, is eight sample size?
What's a sample? You don't know what a sample is.
Is 8 sample size?
I don't know.
I mean, Gary doesn't know what a sample is. How do you know what a sample is? What do you even know what sample size means? How do you even know that term?
Well,
your wife is dragging you around in the mall, Drew. Talking about sample size. Now, go ahead, Sharon.
She was a bathing suit fit model because she was perfect sample size.
Oh, and she wore like a size 8 bikini?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have size 8 bikini.
Or whatever. I guess that's all I can put out of my head.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
All right, so now you're perfect sample size, and
you're overweight.
Finally got a boyfriend because now I look good.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, when we're fooling around, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm orgasming, but I'm not coming. I'm not really sure. So, and when I do, I think I'm actually, like, peeing my pants.
You're peeing in your pants?
Yeah, is that possible? I don't know.
Why are your pants on?
Well, you know what I mean. Okay, not peeing in my pants, but...
Oh, you're wetting the bed.
And this is just through oral sex, too.
Uh-oh.
Huh? What does he say?
He doesn't say anything. I mean, he doesn't say anything. I mean, I'm not like, he's
his,
not coming out like...
His lungs are filled with fluid. He has to be, aspirated.
Diverdan.
Is that possible?
Yeah, yeah, it's possible to urinate, but more often than that, it's ejaculation. It's a female ejaculation.
It is?
Yeah, more often than not. And it can be a large, large volume of fluid. And a lot of women are sort of upset and ashamed of it, but it's guys are quite pleased with it.
Well, he doesn't say anything, right?
No, he's not complaining.
Right. So
right,
look what
well,
he did.
Fine,
he's impressed with himself.
All right, good time.
Yeah, uh-huh. Fine. Look, you're skinny. You've got a nice sample size of urine going into your boyfriend's mouth. You're having an orgasm. He's not complaining. Everything's fine.
All right.
Things are really looking up for you since you started listening to the show, Sherry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, baby. Well, good times.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
She's going to put that weight right back on.
Steve, 19. Was that him sleeping? Steve.
Yes.
What's up?
How's it going? Adam,
good.
I love the mantra.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. I recently had a blood test done, just like a regular thing at my doctor's, and my liver toxin levels, there's like 2 indicators, I guess.
Yeah, those aren't toxin. Those are liver enzymes.
Okay, yeah. One of them was 3 times normal, and the other was like 2 times normal.
So do you drink a lot?
Well, on the weekends.
Well, there you go.
That's it?
But, like, the doctor said that he was shocked to see that they were so high. He said, like, if I was a 40-year-old man and they'd been boozing it for 20 years, he would understand. But, like, they're apparently really worried. He told me I shouldn't drink any liquor for 3 months. And, like,
well,
I take folic acid and stuff, too.
All right, well, here's the deal. Are you on any medication?
No.
Anything? Nothing over the counter or anything like that?
No, nothing.
Well, did they check you for viral hepatitis?
I don't think so.
Okay, you absolutely need to get tested for hepatitis C and hepatitis B. All right.
Okay, would smoking marijuana have anything to do with this?
No, no.
Okay.
And in terms of the liver tests and alcohol, they're extremely unpredictable. I have patients, I treat lots of alcoholics, some with advanced liver disease with normal liver enzymes, some with no liver disease, but, you know, binging on the weekends, get moderate or significant liver enzyme elevation. So the liver enzymes are not a good way to judge how much alcohol someone has been consuming. So it could be alcohol level. And sometimes people have things like alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency and things that can screw up the liver more easily with alcohol. So, you know, you need to be thoroughly tested.
Okay.
It's probably related to the alcohol, but...
Nothing. Like smoking marijuana has nothing to do with how the condition of my liver. No combination of smoking marijuana and alcohol, nothing like that, right?
I can't. I'm trying to think if there's anything they might be putting in the marijuana, but no, cannabis will not screw up your liver.
He also huffs copier toner.
Yeah,
is that anything?
Yeah, that's something to do with it.
So what about the combination of copier toner, cigarettes, the booze, and the weed?
Now you're in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right there, Steve.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, good times. Good times. So, Drew, let's talk enzymes for a second.
Yeah.
If you drank and you had a bender on the weekend and someone checked your enzymes the next day, they would be raised?
Yes, could be. Maybe not, but could be.
But normally, would be most people?
It's extremely unpredictable. Most women would have some elevation.
Because they're lightweights, right?
They lack an enzyme in their stomach to metabolize the alcohol, the things that don't cause toxicity.
Call
to the liver.
It what you want. I call it lightweight. Yeah. And Asians, do they have this thing too?
No, they have a different deficiency that makes them vomit, so they don't drink so much.
But good at math. And what about Asian?
Same enzyme, interestingly.
What about Asian women?
Asian women.
Would they have the double sort of complex?
Again, the issue, the Asians don't drink as much, or they have to learn to drink past the vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of protected against the effects of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they get past that, then the women are more prone to liver disease than the men. About 5 times more likely to get liver problems.
Women are?
5 times
in general.
Than men.
All right. And what else will bring it up? Like, what if you took some Tylenol?
Tylenol will screw it up, too. Yeah. Tylenol with alcohol is a bad combo.
But Tylenol, if you just took Tylenol, would it look different or would it just raise the enzymes?
It depends how much you took. If you took as much as even 8 tablets, you would significantly really raise your liver enzymes for a week or so.
And so if your liver enzymes are raised for a prolonged period of time, that's when the cirrhosis kicks in?
No, liver enzymes, all it means is inflammation of the liver. That's all that means, that some cells are sort of emitting these enzymes because they're inflamed. So it could be hepatitis, could be something, you know, expanding the liver, tumor or something. I mean, it could be a hepatitis of some type, either whether a toxin or chemical or virus. He needs to have this all checked out. He needs complete what's called serology, is the viral testing of the liver for hepatitis. He needs an ultrasound of his liver. He needs to get a workup. He needs an alpha-1 antitrypsin level.
All right, so if you just drink heavily and you end up getting cirrhosis of the liver, that's not because the enzymes were raised for 20 years.
Not necessarily.
Oh, but maybe I'm right.
But many
Thank
times
you.
It can be.
Okay. Well,
but again,
there you go.
It can also be raised by
no,
a dozen
you've answered
things.
My question.
All right, good.
Thank you. The prosecution rests. We'll be right back.
We will indeed.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam Carolla. We're out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, doing a little Dawson's Creek this week.
You're gay.
Yeah. And the script really has me looking like a jackass, too.
Yeah.
A lot of better men would fight for this, but I just, I'm coasting down my career.
Energy, yeah.
I just realized, oh, screw it. Drew comes across looking like a saint.
Ridiculous.
The chicks are all in love with him, and I'm just this sort of womanizing buffoon who roams backstage trying to pick up chicks.
I was insulted by how you're portrayed. I thought, hey, we're professionals. We go out and speak and do these things. You know, you and I really, we... You know what I mean? We
Drew,
really
we,
handle
we've
ourselves.
We've been on how many? We've been on
30, 40 something college dates, and we are handle ourselves. I mean, please.
And you're playing yourselves, right?
Yeah,
we're playing ourselves. But here's the whole thing: Drew's catching the early flight out, and I'm cruising backstage saying, "Hey, ladies, how about a ride on the Corolla coaster?" And they're like, "Get away, creep!" And I'm like, "I'm just back cruising co-eds." And I'm literally saying, like, they're like, well, where did Drew go? I'm like, well, Drew always catches the early flight, but I like to hang back and cruise co-eds. I was just so tired today, and
I would have
taken just rewriting the script completely, and I didn't read it before I left, and I just sat back.
I encourage you to read it, though.
I know, but I just thought, oh, yeah, you know what? Oh. No, we're not getting paid anything for this. Right. They don't pay. I mean, they pay.
Not Corolla standards, though.
No.
Why are you guys doing it then?
No, you know, when I was hauling to the airport on Sunday, and I was looking out, and I was like, "This is glorious! What a beautiful day!" And I was stuck in traffic, and I realized that I told Dawson's Creek that I would pay out of my own pocket to. to charter a plane to get there. And I was screaming at my wife, I'm going to kill that Drew.
Oh.
Yes, he talked me into this.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Want to do this. I was this close to just going home.
Oh.
You know how I get that? I'm going home.
Yeah,
I don't care. Let
yes.
him sue me. I don't
yes,
want to
I
go.
Do.
I don't want to do it. But I thought, you know, I'll tell you why I'm doing it. I'm doing it, A, because I got asked 2 months in advance. And you'll say, you guys don't realize this, you civilians, but us celebrities, we get asked to do crap like 5 years in advance.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no. They always go, in June, we're doing the Hepatitis C fundraiser out in San Luis Obispo. We want to know if you can say a few words. And you're like, June... Yeah, what is that? Like 7 months? Yeah, I'll be there. And then before you know it, you're there, standing in front of 18 people in San Luis Obispo talking about hepatitis C.
Yeah,
so, all right. But anyway, I wanted to do it because Drew and I don't go out on the road anymore because I've become too big a star.
Right.
And Drew and I like to hang out and you know find us. And this is a good. Good
is that
opportunity
a euphemism
for
anal sex or something?
Yes,
what is
that? Yes. And I don't think I've been to North Carolina, and I haven't spent any time
it's
here.
It's kind of for posterity's sake, too. It's kind of cool to do something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you tell
it?
Your kids you're on Dawson's Creek, and they go, why are you gay, Daddy? And then they go back to Haiti. All right. Shall we move forward here?
Yes, let's talk to somebody who's gay. This is Jonathan, 21.
Hey.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey.
You're gay.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. What's up?
I've been trying to find someone to date by going online, and I went to a club last week for the first time, and it just seems like all the people are either incredibly depressed or they want to be in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
What does that mean?
Well, they're like drag queens and stuff. They're screwed up.
You had never been to a gay bar until last weekend?
Yes.
Your first outing.
Yeah.
Didn't he say something about online a minute
ago? Yeah, I've been cruising profiles online, reading on these various websites, profiles with pictures that people put up and trying to email them, who are around this area, and haven't gotten responses. The ones that I have gotten are very creepy old men.
Are you just recently out?
Drew, where'd your gay club thing come from?
Oh, I thought he said something about... He said he went to a club, I thought he said, too, last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would think that a gay male adult would have been out sort of socializing a little bit by 21.
Well, he's 21. You didn't get a fake ID or anything?
No, I wasn't really into the whole scene.
That's pretty cool.
Shy, and
great.
The fact that I went to the club was a big deal.
Do you have any gay friends that can sort of set you up?
No.
Have you, the Orange County has a very active gay and lesbian youth center. Have you looked into that? Or did you go to UC Irvine? That's where it's called.
No, Orange Coast College, and I don't want to get into the community college thing.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Yeah. Well, they got a good nursing program.
Cosmetology.
Oh, Drew, please, with your stereotypes, you make me sick.
No, I'm. That's what they have there.
Okay, yeah, he's gay. We get it. He's going to be doing hair and nails. I understand, Drew. Not funny.
That's not what
I'm sorry for that, Jonathan.
I'm an English major. I don't care.
Thank you.
I see. Okay. So you're disillusioned with the nightclub scene.
Yeah.
And you're disillusioned with the computer online scene. And Drew, what about the, the gay youth community center or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
21, is it youth anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
It is?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You mean the center in Garden Grove?
I think Garden Grove or in Anaheim.
I went to that. It was more like a runaway place.
Oh really?
Jeez, yeah. Well, still easy pickings.
But he's doing his homework.
All right.
Well, Jonathan, you don't have any gay friends?
No.
You got to make some gay friends.
Yeah, you need a network.
Hip you to the scene.
Are you not out?
No. Well, to my friends, just not my family.
Wow.
And my friends don't really know any other gay people. The people I do make friends with are all really happy and amazed to meet me because they're not like this. I'm not like the stereotypes that they see, but I'm the only one.
What about, do they have gay bars that aren't just filled with glory holes and Mexicans mopping semen up, and guys wearing chaps, and, you know, handlebar mustache. I mean, they have, like, normal gay bars, because they're sort of straight bars that are sort of pickup dives, and then their straight bars are a little higher level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little higher level of clientele goes in there. Do they have gay bars that are a little more like that? Or are they all just turned into Caligula?
Or I would think sort of cultural or community endeavors.
That's what you have to do. Eric, here's what you got to do, Jonathan.
Okay.
You got to go to the... Yes, Drew's right. Go to LACMA. What is that?
He's in Orange County, though.
Well, like, he can't drive 20 minutes on the 405.
He's trying to find it.
Listen, go to modern art exhibits and museums like this. These aren't gay clubs, but they are. There's no straight guys there. I guarantee you that.
Laguna Beach.
Go to Laguna Beach.
It's an arts colony. It's a lot of gay community down there.
Yeah, hang out with the artisans. That's what you need to do. Go to these museums. Do all that kind of stuff.
But he's down at Laguna Beach. Is 10 minutes away. Just head on
down.
All right,
go to Laguna Beach.
And there's a lot of real nice, sort of, they aren't gay bars. There's restaurants and bars where people hang out. I'm sure it's got to be very lonely, and it must be really frustrating. I mean, it's like being sort of 15, 16, trying to negotiate your heterosexual compass.
Yeah, but it's, you know what? But look at it this way, Drew. When I was 21, I was just swinging a hammer, wasn't in college, have any money.
Yeah.
I was 21, I was trying to go out with 21-year-old chicks, and I'd have none of it. So in a way...
Same.
Well, almost worse off, because at least if you're a 21-year-old gay guy, you can just go out with a 21-year-old gay guy, right? Can't you?
Well, that's what he's having trouble with.
I know, but what I'm saying is in a way, has a leg up on some of the straight guys that aren't in college. Or just working schlubs.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah? All right. He's not getting out enough. That's all.
John, you're fine. Listen, you're going through a phase. It's got to be very lonely and very frustrating. Just get out there, work at it. It sounds like you're doing your homework, but just keep at it.
Go to the design center.
You'll establish a little network, and it will grow. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Any place where the coffee's more than $4 and they have, like, a Monet on the placemats. It's impeccably decorated. Any place
that's
where...
That's nice.
Any place that's nice,
there
just,
you go.
Just go there.
There you go. Shay, 17.
Nothing but gays. Shay?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, actually, for the gay guy who was just on, if he gets into musical theater, he'll meet a lot of gay men.
Please, with your stereotypes.
How dare you?
I work in musical theater.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a stage manager.
Uh-huh. Lots of gay men around there?
Usually. There's like a 60% gay men to straight men ratio.
Wow.
Now, is that in the theater itself?
In the theater, yeah.
And then you figure the audience has to be pretty high up there, too.
Yeah, probably.
What is the matter with me? I like singing those musicals.
What?
I don't know. It's, you know what it is? It's the costumes. You guys wearing tights.
Yeah.
And the cod pieces and stuff, you know? Seeing that crazy opera. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Wait a minute. Who's that? Is it Drew?
Paganini.
Wearing his Peter Pan slippers. He has a hat with a feather sticking out of it. He's wearing one of those Shakespeare kind of Judy Jetson bubble skirts. Yeah.
Ben Stein.
What is that? Is that Italian?
Yeah, but it's the French opera.
Oh!
You guys love doing this.
Now, what are you saying? What are you saying in this? He's lamenting because he's lost his love.
It's about the French Revolution, basically. It's a officer who's getting ready to leave for war, basically.
All right, and you know what the translation is?
Barely.
All right. Well, good times.
It's about singing about how everything's going to be good for the world, for all people all around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds upbeat for an opera. Well, good times.
It's a tragedy in the end.
Well, what's Shay's question? Does he have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. I have been told that it's not possible for men to urinate when they have an erection. But
it's very difficult. Very difficult. Not without spraying it all over the room.
Well, it's like I've got to like bend over and everything because I can't like get the direction to get it into the toilet when I'm.
Yeah, you got to go in the sink.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to write an opera about that. My also, love of urinating in the sink.
Last week, I really like had to go to the bathroom, but I was watching a porno and, you know, masturbating, and I actually ended up, I came really, really close to orgasming, but then I just started urinating.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's a problem with, like, my prostate or something, and if I need to get that checked out or what.
No, although it would be irritating to your prostate to urinate during an erection, there's sort of a valve in there that flips between urine and semen, and maybe that's kind of weakened for some reason with you, but it's not necessarily a problem.
Okay.
Not a medical issue necessarily.
All right. Hey, really, you got to hit the sink.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. I'm like 6'5", 6'6", so
perfect.
It's really not a huge problem. So.
Right. Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah.
Plus, you can look at yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam particularly enjoys.
Yeah, to see what I look like. It's not meant for the slight guys. I mean, anybody under, let's say about anyone under 6 foot is going to have difficulty whizzing in the sink.
Sink counter coming in.
I think I think a kitchen sink's 36, but the bathroom sink's 32, as I recall from my carpentry days.
Boy.
Yeah. 32 inches is, takes a little something to get up there.
What are you doing to my script there, dude?
I'm just doodling on it.
Hey, Adam.
Read it tomorrow.
I saw Huell Howser tonight.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What was he talking about?
In the flesh?
No, I saw him on TV.
Oh, for the first time?
No, for like the fifth time, but he was doing, his special was on Squeegees.
Squeegees.
Huell Howser, we haven't talked about for a while, but Huell Howser's this fixture on Los Angeles public television.
That must be distributed throughout the country on certain public televisions. It must.
I don't know. Let's ask Alex, the engineer, if he's ever seen Huell Howser.
You heard of Huell Howser?
No, sort of.
It's called California Gold.
It's called California Gold.
All right, okay.
Please. All right. Quiet down. You've never seen him
anyway. It's not just Los Angeles. I mean, it's got to be California.
All right, you're probably right. But Huell Howser's this sort of country bumpkin. He's got huge arms. He's this big, well-built Marine kind of guy, but he may be sort of butch gay. I'm not sure what his proclivity is sexually. But he just goes around with a microphone and his camera, and he does the most boring sort of exposés you've ever seen in your life. And then
he keeps
restating the obvious over and over again.
Saccharine enthusiastic. Super enthusiastic.
Yeah.
That's the old boy.
Grand ballroom, and it is grand.
That's Huell, and that's Huell on a cappuccino. And Huell likes to go to these places. It's like, we're with the Espinosa family who's been making tortillas in the San Fernando Valley for 130 years. 130 years. That's a long time. Isn't it, Jorge? Yes, it is, Huell. 130 years. And when your grandfather or great-great-grandfather started making tortillas 130 years ago, did he ever think that it... And it's like the guy's getting bored, and he's like starting to get wobbly and fall into the tortilla mix.
Uh-huh.
And it's great, too. It's like he repeats everything like he's talking to retarded kids. Like right. They go... Huell, this is where we ship the tortillas. So this is where you ship the tortillas.
It's like Blue's Clues for adults.
Now, you know what it's like? It's like he's wired, and the FBI is in the van, and they're talking. So it's like, this is where we keep the kilos of high-grade heroin. This is where you keep the high-grade heroin. It's like he's cueing the ATF guys to come busting, except for nobody's there. He's talking about tortillas. He talks about tortillas and, like, menudo. And he always finds these Mexican families have been canning this stuff for, like, 30 years, and it's always the same story. So this is the same recipe your grandfather brought over from... Yeah, yes, it is, Huell. Exactly, yes, Huell. Exactly, yes. And this is where you ship the menudo? Yes, that's why we call it shipping. Fascinating. And the show goes on for an hour without any commercials. And this is what you get by the way, when the marketplace does not decide what's going to be on TV,
yeah, right.
where we would just take some grants and some tax money, you get Huelhauser. Because this hour-long show, if it was on, if it had to compete,
forget it.
It would be down to like 8 seconds. You'd be watching like 7,000 miles of tape on the tortilla factory. It's like, Huel, there's nothing here we can use. I'm sorry, buddy. We got to go out and redo this, and we're going to need some chicks. And we got to spice it up a little bit. And you, we can get you something like a beret or something. You got to do something like you got to go, pow, there's the tortillas or something. You need a trademark. Nope, he just cruises Los Angeles. Meanwhile, he's got the greatest life of all of us.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to get ratings. Probably has no bosses, and he just wanders the San Fernando Valley going to tortilla factories.
Yeah, that's it.
We got to go. These are wonderful stories.
There he is.
All right. Well, it was really going to be funny when one day I see Huelhauser and he beats the ass out of me. He's this huge guy. You've never seen him,
Drew. I've seen him on TV. I have.
All right. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're out here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Drew, isn't there a Wilmington, Indiana, too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
There's some, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah. That's where the college is, isn't it?
That's Bloomington.
Oh, it's Bloomington.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe there isn't a Wilmington.
There probably is. What are the odds?
Well, you know my thing.
Yeah.
There should only be one of everything.
There's Wilmington, California.
Is there? Yeah, see, we should get rid of that.
There's a car dealership in Wilmington.
Yeah, you're right. We don't deserve a Wilmington. They have all this Civil War history out here.
Wonderful.
There you go. Kara's 24. Kara?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. There's also a Wilmington, Delaware, just to let you know.
There you go.
Yeah, you
that's
see, very confusing.
Thank
very
you.
Confusing for people going to Wilmington. You're at the airport, you see the Wilmington up on the board there.
Get lost.
Yeah. We can come up with new names.
My question is, I've had a boyfriend for a few months, about four or five months, and I told him that I loved him. And he said, that's not, you know, I like you, too. And he just said that he's postponing saying it, or he's just putting off saying it. He hasn't ran away or anything. He's still around, and he's great.
How old is he?
He's 26.
Did you ask him if he's ever said it to anybody?
No, I haven't. I know he had a serious girlfriend in the past. It was a few years ago. They've been broken up for a few years. And
some people, though, really have trouble saying that. They just can't. They don't know what it means really. They're afraid of it.
But at age 26 for guys, you should have figured it out.
Yeah.
You should have figured it out. But you do sort of cling to it as a guy when you're younger, for no good reason.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we haven't talked about this in a long time, Drew.
No.
It's just the kind of thing that everyone makes a big deal about, especially when they're in high school and stuff, and they're in their early 20s.
It's intense for people. It feels intense to say that to somebody for the first time that's not your parents or something. It's transferring all that feeling onto somebody else, and it can feel very vulnerable and confusing, and
yeah, but here's
people
what
feel
I'm
unworthy
saying.
Of loving or being
here's
loved.
Here's what I'm saying for the fellas.
Yeah.
Just cop it up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think you're going to be around, if you're with somebody, You like the person enough so that you're not going anywhere, you've been there for a while and have no intention of going anywhere soon, just give it up.
See,
it'll
Cara,
make things a lot easier.
Cara, guys start thinking, they start freaking themselves out thinking that they're committed to you, they're going to have to stick around, they're going to have to marry you and see this through, and you know they can't say that to you and not sort of really commit for the long term.
And also, we guys sort of treat it like we got to get through this jungle of relationships with a gun that only has 3 or 4 I love you bullets
right,
in it.
Right.
And we don't want to waste them all by 25.
That's right.
Because then there's going to be a steam charging rhino coming at us, and we're not going to have anything to protect ourselves.
What is that craziness?
I'm just saying.
You're, that's right.
There's no ceiling on it. You can say I love you to 300 or 400 women in your life, and women you can say to 300 or 400 men. And I mean, I don't recommend 300 or 400, but You can be.
I would look into it if you're doing that.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying, Drew.
But there's no magic number with
Let's
that.
Let's do some I love you, man.
All right.
You can be in high school and be in a serious relationship throughout high school
yes.
and lay down the I love you.
Yes.
And then that can break up for a little while, and you can get into something serious in college, and you can do the I love you bomb there, too.
Yeah.
You can also then get into a series of shorter 4 months, 6 months, but sort of intense relationships where the I love you thing can be laid out in month number two or three, and that too. I mean, you can give up five or eight of these things,
guys,
no problem.
I love you, but don't get any ideas.
Right.
Right. That's when they're starting to put limits around it because they're coming to understand what it means.
Right. All right.
All right, Cara. We got to take a break here, right?
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal. Don't get hung up on it. Don't push him for it. Give him a little space, and I bet he comes forward with it, all right? All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're in Wilmington, North Carolina, and you know, it's funny, Drew. Each time we come back from commercial, I look up through the glass at our engineer out here, Alex, and I'm waiting for him to cue me.
Oh.
I've not gotten past that yet. I know, I hear Anderson in my ear, but I want the finger.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he's
so
used to that.
Alex,
and a big flurry, too.
If you can hear Anderson.
A wind up with that.
I'm giving you the finger from here, too.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Anderson. I'd like you to give Alex the finger. You cue him, and then he cues me through the glass. Okay.
Got it.
Hey, I've got a call here. You're gonna like, Adam. Here we go. This is Victor 33. Victor.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, not much. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Cool. About that whole Huell Hauser thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's gay. Back in 1991, I used to work for the Getty Museum as a security officer, and he came to a party that I was...
Well, these are wonderful stories.
You know, I've got to build it up.
Right.
And he hit on me and offered me a job. So.
Oh, really?
Maybe he's just offering you a job.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's offering somebody a job, and then there's offering them a job. I mean, I have no relative experience in television, and it was pretty clear that he was coming on to me.
All right. Well, you know, but to be on a show, you don't have to have any TV experience. I mean, to be fair, just to sort of stand around with a clipboard and point out the tortilla batter and stuff like that.
Yeah, well.
All right, Victor.
I mean, you've been hit on before, I'm sure, right?
No.
Never?
No, not really.
You know,
not really knowingly.
I think, I don't know if guys are lame or I'm just lame. I wouldn't know it with a guy or a girl
who
were hitting on me.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He made it kind of
Are you that way, too?
Obvious.
Yeah, all right. All right.
Well, somebody would have to say, right, somebody have to,
you know.
Vic, you're probably a good-looking guy is all this.
Well, you know, back when I was 19, maybe. Now I'm an old
guy. Sure.
You know.
All right. No problem. We're older than you, so thanks for that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But thanks for the call, Victor. Okay. Yeah, I don't know when a guy's hitting on me.
Or a woman. I really don't.
Well.
Kind of miss that, too, I guess.
Yeah, but for a guy who misses that stuff, you sure close a lot of deals in your day, Drew.
Naomi, 17.
Yeah. Interesting math, isn't it? Naomi?
Yes?
What's up?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're tired.
Sort of for me, too. I should be going to bed, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's 2 o'clock here.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Oh, it's crazier when they pick you up in the morning.
What time can we sleep till tomorrow? 9?
Yeah, we can sleep till 9.
All right, good times.
But you go to bed at 4.
I know.
All right.
Here we go. Naomi.
Okay, well, I was wondering, regarding the conversation that you were having before about Asians and drinking and enzymes and stuff, I was actually quite interested, but I missed most of the conversation. I wanted to
All right. more. What I was saying is that many Asians are protected against alcoholism because they lack a certain enzyme that breaks down alcohol. It causes them to accumulate something that makes them vomit when they drink and flush. So they feel very uncomfortable when they drink. Now, this is particularly Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Japan, alcohol has become so much a part of the culture that the Japanese learn to drink past the flush.
Goodness.
And then you see the alcoholism. What I was saying
was... That's a warrior spirit.
That's right. The ninja alcohol. Yeah. Mm. And what I was saying was if you drink past the flush, you still see women having more adverse effects on their liver than men, just the way you would in any other population.
Well, that's very interesting to hear because my mother, who's Japanese, she actually doesn't drink that much because of those reactions.
Yeah. So it protects Japanese against alcoholism because it's so unpleasant.
She can do as much opium as she wants. So. All right. Hey, well, good times.
Okay.
That's all right. So what are you? You're half Japanese?
Yes, I am.
What's your other half?
I'm Irish.
That's a dynamite mixture.
Ooh.
I know. Oof. Yeah, got like the whole alcoholic side of family.
No, but yeah. it's a good looking mixture. Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
All right.
Yeah, but good times.
Good times. Here's Rob, who's 30. Rob.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
You tell us.
I can't believe I made it on. Okay, my question
Where are you calling from?
Hawaii.
Where?
Wilmington, Hawaii.
Exactly. Where in Hawaii? Oahu.
Oahu.
I'll tell you, I make fun of the Hawaiians a lot because they're not the... not the sharpest pencils in the drawer, but I'll give them one thing. They do not rip off and use our names redundantly.
Our names?
Well, I mean, there's no Springfield in Hawaii. There's no Wilmington. There's no Rochester. You know what I mean? They don't keep using the same goddamn names over and over again.
And nothing in Hawaii ends in O-N or I-N-G.
Right. So they're not in danger of stealing any of our good mainland names.
All right.
So, Rob, where are you in Hawaii?
How come you always say mahalo?
Mahalo.
I don't know why I say that. Yeah, I'll tell you why I say that.
Why?
Because when we started doing the TV show, I guess it was, or maybe it was this show.
Yeah.
This is back when I had a pulse. I decided, well, I got to end the show by saying something, and I don't want to say, like, you know, keep your spirits high and your powder dry, or keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars. And I went to Hawaii one time, and I just kept hearing mahalo. Thank you, and mahalo.
And it's so for the mainlander, it's such a weird thing to hear everywhere, and you've never heard it before. You and I had this discussion about it right after you started using it.
Yeah, you hear it everywhere
it's
in Hawaii.
It's on every trash can. It's on the sign at McDonald's.
People think it means like garbage. Oh, they think it means...
Yes, put garbage here, absolutely.
Right, so I just decided to bring mahalo into the mainstream.
Since when you go to Hawaii, it seems to be much more important than aloha.
Yeah.
And somehow aloha made it to the mainland and mahalo didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I get to claim it as my own, you know? No one else was using the mahalo before me.
Cool. Are there any other words like that that you guys use a lot? No, you know, I mean... There's nothing really you hear on the airplane when you're landing.
All right,
you know.
Quiet down. Even I'm bored with mahalo now. Yeah. But, Rob, where'd you say you're calling from in Hawaii?
Oahu.
From Kailua.
Kailua.
You know where that is? Kailua is on the windward side of Oahu.
Mahalo. Mm.
Kailua.
Yeah.
It's on.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew's like trying to think because his wife is dragging him to every
like
corner
I've been
of
there,
Hawaii.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you doing over there? Growing sprouts, smoking weed, and surfing?
I surf. I actually work in news and TV news.
Oh, really? I guess they have regular jobs there, too, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So what's your question?
My question is that I have this ridiculous attachment to my male friends. Like, not all of them, but I always do it. It's been a pattern. I'm 30, and I'm over it. Like, I've done it for years. Like, I'll get attached, like, physically and, like, I don't know, I guess romantically or whatever, but it's just... It's stupid. It's like because they're totally unavailable, and I do this, and I don't know why. It's ridiculous.
Do you make moves on them?
I have in the past, and then I've also just made it clear, like by telling them, you know, just open conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But
all right, so you're gay, but your friends aren't gay.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm dating a girl right now, but I don't know.
Well, okay,
bisexual.
I got a few questions.
Okay.
It seems are you a native Hawaiian?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay, because I don't think they got any gay, like, guys with the big calves, you know, with the tonga, you know, with the torches and everything.
You know what a mahu is?
Yeah, no. White guy?
Mahu is Hawaiian for, like, basically a transvestite. Like, you know,
really?
Like a... Yeah.
Transsexual or transvestite?
I think both. Like, there's some, you know, because there's so much inbreeding in the islands. I don't know. I'm going to get my ass beat tomorrow, but.
Yeah.
Mahu.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, okay, but let me just get something straight. You know, so you're white guy, and you're from where?
No, I'm actually not white. I'm Filipino and Chinese, so I blend in here.
But you're from where?
But I'm from Florida.
Okay. Yep. All right. And you consider yourself bisexual?
Yeah, pretty much.
Normal Floridian.
All right. So now, and you're happen to be with a woman right now, but you're not all that into her.
Yeah, she kind of bugs. She's kind of stupid.
Okay. And so when you start hanging around with guys and you enjoy the guy, you start having a crush on the guy.
Basically,
It's interesting you use that word, because that's exactly what I was getting from him, that he gets like this, almost like a childlike crush on the guy, and it becomes sort of a little more, you get a little sort of sexual with it, but it feels to me like sort of a longing to be with a male figure of some type. Where does that come from?
Is that from a
underpants?
Dad? Is that what it is?
Oh.
What's wrong with your dad?
Is that from a distant father, you know?
I don't know. You tell me. I just get this. It's interesting. We both kind of picked up on it, this longing to be with a man. They're your friends, and you develop tender feelings for them, and they just overflow into this sort of romantic crush.
Yeah.
That's usually kind of 8-9-year-olds do that a little bit normally. And if you had something happen to you then, that can kind of arrest you.
To the same sex?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did something happen when you were 8-9?
I don't know. I don't remember, you know, I don't think so. I've thought that there was definitely emotional abuse, you know, like a lot of it. And there's physical too, but I don't know about sexual abuse.
Well, when did the emotional and physical abuse get going? From a young age?
Yeah, like 5, 6, you know, like five up until moved out.
All right. Well, whatever the case is, there's something going on. You're unsatisfied in your relationship right now. Why don't you break things off with your current relationship and then just move forward from there?
Well, with the girl, you mean? But how about? It seems to me like this time for therapy, because he's just confused. He's with a girl, but he kind of crushes on guys. And,
yeah. I know what it's like, though. Guys are better to hang out with.
I know. I know what you wish. You only wish you were gay.
Oh, I know. I know. And this may be the year
Jimmy,
I make
don't
my...
laugh at him. Don't laugh.
This is the year I make my move, by the way.
Really? Before Jimmy drifts away?
Yeah. Oh, you know, man. I mean, you know, Jimmy was, you know, I was always attracted to him, but he had a couple extra pounds on him and a little hair on his back, so it always kind of got in the way.
He's had that now waxed, and he's lost the weight and everything?
Well, he's dropped a couple of pounds. He's still still hairy as all get out, but... he looks good in that suit, and he's on TV every night, and that's a little intoxicating for a lad like myself to come home, see him on TV.
It's time to make a move, see?
Plus, he's got some cash.
Oh, yeah.
And he's kind
of... Oh, think of the life you guys would lead.
Kind of a mover and a shaker. Huh. Yeah. And, you know, I always want to be one of those stay-at-home moms,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just take care of the house, do a little remod. Have a good show tonight. Be funny for me. I'll be watching. And then I just start playing Nintendo and looking at porn on the computer.
Yeah, you've been doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Be a good life. Who are we talking to?
Janine. Janine?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I'm 15 years old, and I was just wondering if it's normal to have a sex drive like mine, like, because, I don't know, I just can't seem to stay away from it, you know?
At 15. So you're having sex already at 15?
Yeah, I lost my virginity when I was 13, and when I was 13 and 14, I didn't have that much sex, but when I hit 15, I mean, it just all came on, you know?
With one guy or woman?
No, not really.
Right. I got the same story. When I was 13 and 14, almost nothing, but when I hit 28, pow. You know, so it's a little downtime in there, but pow at 28. So,
how many different guys?
Yeah.
Like, around 20, like, at least. You know?
All right, so there's something going on, right?
20 guys.
20 guys.
Damn, bitch.
I've tried to put them on paper and count them and stuff, but it doesn't really work.
All right, so what's going on?
Are you manic depressive, or you've been abused?
Well, I don't know.
Those are your choices.
What is manic depressive like?
Like you get real hyper and can't sleep and spell
stuff. Well, yeah, I have trouble sleeping a lot. Like.
Well, but I just get trauma here. Don't you, Adam?
Well, anytime someone is 15 and racked up those kind of numbers, you do tend to think there was something in the past.
But I love it, though. It's like...
I know. It's what feel you need, but it's the result of some wiring that was sort of left imprinted on your brain from somebody... I get physical abuse. Somebody sort of smacking you around when you were a kid.
physical abuse?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
Not really physical abuse.
No one ever hit you?
Well, wait a minute. Sexual abuse?
No. I mean, when I was 13, maybe, but...
What happened at 13? You raped?
Yeah. Well, that's what my friends call it. Like, I don't like to call it that.
All right. And how about the physical abuse part? Nobody ever hit you?
No.
Never hit?
Nope.
I don't believe it.
Well, would you lie? You wouldn't lie, would you, Janine?
No, I wouldn't lie.
Oh, really? No, I don't believe her either.
Why
no
not?
No physical abuse. Your dad, stepdad, whoever, never smacked you around?
No, my dad died when I was 13, so.
Huh. 13?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the same
year you were raped.
What happened to your dad?
Well, that happened, he had lung cancer.
And by the way, the physical abuse I'm talking about is probably more like when you were six.
When I was six? I don't think I can remember that far.
Yeah. Okay, so was your dad a good guy before he left?
He tried to be, but he didn't. He wasn't really.
What was bad about him?
He didn't pay the bills, and he was an alcoholic, and he abused cocaine.
Okay, yeah. So
other than that, though.
Other than that, great guy.
Well, so he tried. I mean, he loved us, you know.
I know, but he was aggressive with you sometimes, right?
He'd yell at us, but he'd never touch us.
All right. Well, I guess it can be terrifying to have a dad who's drunk and yelling.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then having him die at such a young age. And
there's more.
All right. Okay, there's more. But also, what about this, Drew? What about feeling like, and I don't know if you felt this way, Janine, but you have this sort of rageful alcoholic dad. It's not physically abusive, but he's yelling all the time. Probably scary to a young girl when dad comes home drunk yelling.
Well, it wasn't really scary. Like, I was frightened. I was more frightened for him, you know?
It's a powerless feeling, and powerlessness for kids is an extremely destructive feeling to have.
And so when he dies, there almost has to be one sense of relief in a certain way.
That just adds to her guilt and shame.
And then the guilt and the shame come
in. I suppose there was kind of relief because, I mean, I wouldn't be waiting at 2 o'clock in the morning when the bar is closed to see if he...
Oh, man, are you kidding? Oh, it's awful, Janine.
All right. So let's just call this enough for now for you
trauma.
To be on your sexual rampage.
Yeah, you may be an addict. No, it's not normal, and you may be an addict, too. And this may be part of your sort of addictive expression. You add a traumatic childhood to the addictive biology, and you can get a lot of sexual compulsion.
All right, so you got to get some therapy, you got to get some help, and
start by going to Al-Anon. I mean, Al-Ateen.
Go to Al-Ateen and control yourself, and use protection for Christ's sake. Don't get pregnant.
What are you on, birth control pill?
No.
You're gonna get pregnant.
No, I'm not. That's what people keep telling me.
How are you not gonna get pregnant?
Condoms.
Do you use them religiously?
90% of the time.
Okay. Well, the other 10% is the pregnancy. Condoms are like seatbelts. You have to use them 100% of the time for them to be effective.
Yeah. Or even use a seatbelt once in a while. I'll actually wrap my penis with a seatbelt.
That's good.
I've used an airbag, too. You ever do that, Drew?
Dave, 17, can't say
no,
I have.
No, never used an airbag.
Yes.
Dave, what's up?
I need some advice about if I should move out from my parents.
All right.
They're moving up to away from all my friends, you know, my school, and basically out in the middle of nowhere. My stepdad's kind of a nutcase, you know. And
where's he moving to?
North Florida.
North Florida.
Yeah.
Wilmington, North Florida.
Why is he a nutcase? What do you mean? What is it about the move that makes him a nutcase?
Well, he's kind of mean to us, but he doesn't like abuse us or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to move us out in the middle of nowhere and, like, buy some land, you know?
Yeah.
But he's afraid of something?
Like an abolitionist.
Yeah, yeah.
He's tired of the government telling me what I can say and what I can drink and how many guns I can carry in my truck. Go start a compound over there, dig a ditch, put a bunch of canned food in there.
Nah,
look.
He's
right.
Irish.
No. Yeah.
Oh, that explains.
Well, you know he's trouble. His mechs are all trouble.
Exactly. So
okay, you're 17. Are you a senior in high school?
Yes.
And you have friends?
Yes, they're all down here, and I'm getting straight A's.
You're getting straight A's?
Yes, barely.
And
C's.
Calling all nerds. And what do you, where are you living?
With my parents right now in Central Florida.
In Central Florida?
Yeah.
Going to Central Florida?
Just north of Tampa.
I flew over Florida, actually, about 3 weeks ago. I was going out to New York, and I realized the state is now taking on the shape of a giant waffle. It's now just turned into a waffle. It's the waffle capital of the world. They started shoveling dirt into the bay, and they started stamping craters in it. They're huge from the air. They've got to be, I don't know, hundreds of feet deep and acres across, but they're actually making the state look like what it's turning into, which is just one big waffle house. Okay, you stay where you are. I say you stay where you are. He's a senior. He's getting good grades. He's got friends.
Go away to college, quick.
Can you go away to college?
I could do that. I mean,
there you go.
You think I should move to my dad in Phoenix? I haven't seen him in 5 years.
Well, why do you want to move to Phoenix when you got all your friends in Florida and you're a senior in high school?
Well, when my parents move, I'm going to leave all my friends and leave everything and just be out.
When are they moving? Won't they hang out till May or June?
Actually, the end of this month, we'll move.
Oh, boy.
All right, and can't you shack up on your buddies for 3 months?
I tried that. They didn't go for it.
Your parents didn't go for it?
My buddies didn't go for it.
Oh, okay. Maybe they don't like you that much. All right. Well, look, if you can't find a buddy or a relative or somebody to hang with where you're at, then you gotta move.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine. Drew, will you hang up on this guy? What are you doing?
I can't do it.
Just hang up.
Watch what happens.
All right.
Anderson, don't do anything.
All right. Anderson, what are you doing over there?
There we go.
All right. Thank you.
You put him on hold.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you...
Anderson, start getting rid of these idiots, would you please?
You get the dial tone.
Especially if I'm giving the wrap-up thing.
I just did. We got to take a break.
All right. No, quiet down. I got to talk now. I couldn't imagine going anywhere toward the end of my senior year in high school. And away from all
my
friends,
God,
and
go to
prom, any of that stuff, whatever sports you're playing. And he's not telling us the whole story because he's straight A's.
Yeah, right. It's
not so sure about that. And his buddies are real tight with him, but he can't
find one
to shack up with for a couple of months before he graduates.
Right.
That would be my plan. If you can't do that, you got to move.
All right,
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're coming to you from Wilmington, North Carolina. Around here doing Dawson's Creek. And this is where they do Dawson's Creek. So this is where we had to come to do Dawson's Creek.
You do a lot of stuff out here, it seems like. It's like a little tiny Hollywood.
Yeah, there's a big studio out here. They do a lot of movies and stuff.
I guess so.
Employ a lot of drivers. I like that driver gig. A lot of sitting in the van with it running, heat blowing, listening to a little Rush Limbaugh, thinking about hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Our driver, she's a female, but she's into the hunting.
Oh, really? You started talking to her about that, huh?
Deer hunting.
Wow.
Quail hunting. And it's like, I'm always interested in the hunting when it becomes a little more... regulated than this, you going out into nature. She's like, well, we don't get a lot of quail out here, so we go, we do it cage style. Oh. It's like, well, how's that work? Hey, you usually buy about 30 quail in the cage, and you just go, and you don't shoot them in the cage. I guess they fly 3-4 feet from the cage, but you stand on the cage and shoot. No. She goes out with her husband and her dogs, and maybe the hunting thing, what the hunting thing is, I think, with chicks? That's the don't try to rape me talk.
You think?
What that is. Yeah, they pick you up at the airport.
She sussed you out and knew that you'd be
some slimy L.A. guy in the car going, so where's the local action? She goes, I do hunting. Oh, yeah, I'll shoot anything that moves. My husband's into it. My dogs are in it. And you're like, oh, okay, just drop me off at the hotel. But, does the quail, does the deer. And she eats it. And I'm like, now what do you do with that quail? Fried up.
Wow.
Which I'm not surprised by.
Fried quail.
Yeah, and I said, how's that work with the fried quail? Same as chicken, but smaller. And I thought, chicken's already a little too small for me. I can't imagine stepping down from chicken size-wise. Yeah, we just said, well, how many did you shoot last time? 30.
Wow.
So you take home 30 quail and, you know, pluck them and clean them and gut them. And
quails, those beautiful birds with the little whoop on their head?
Yeah, they were. She shot them.
Oh, my God.
That's fine. Listen, I got nothing against anyone that eats what they shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to pick all the bird shot out of them and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, shouldn't you just go see the colonel?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
There
you
go.
Hope she's not listening. Who's up, Drew?
She's picking us up at the end.
Oh, yeah. She's out there now.
All right. Jenny, 27.
Hello?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I have a question for both of you. I'm 27, and my boyfriend of not very long seems very preoccupied with anal sex or anything in that area, and I was listening to you on a show.
In that area.
It's not just anal sex, it's the anus he's a fan of.
I was listening to your show recently, and you said maybe only 10 to 15% of men are interested in this.
No, no, we said really...
Josh, let her finish.
Okay, go ahead.
It made me wonder if he's gay curious or bi curious. He's so sensitive, and he has really good taste. And I know that might sound awful, but what do you think? I don't know.
We were not going down that path to start with.
Hold on.
Really?
I'm getting bogus, too. Yeah, me too. I got bogus, too.
Sorry, Jenny.
No,
we got bogus.
It's not bogus.
Yeah, Jenny, the reason we're saying bogus is because the guy, that 10% of guys that are really into it, and not just kind of into it, really into it, are sort of super males.
Yeah.
They're sort of a very aggressive guys. They're not what you're describing at all.
Oh, he is not aggressive at all. He seems almost shy otherwise. Really?
Doesn't fit with our experience.
Yeah, still getting the bogus thing from you, Jenny. Yeah. My bogosity.
I'm with Adam.
Sense
actually.
Is tingling.
Why?
It just doesn't fit.
I don't know. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's not working.
Really? That's just the truth. I'm wondering if it's me. I'm not very. I don't know. I'm small, so I don't really have curves like a woman. You know what I mean?
Oh, maybe. Now it's totally bogus.
Yeah, yeah, Jenny, we're not getting it. It's not flowing for us.
Huh.
Yeah. Now listen.
You don't have any advice? You don't think that you might be?
Oh, no, I'm really, really bad with the bogus.
Yeah.
Jenny, bogus. So please. Uh-huh. Yeah. Is there a guy around there?
No.
With you? Ask a question a different way. Ask us something specific about this relationship.
Well, I'm worried that, I don't know, I'm just worried that he might be gay. I'm just, curious. I don't know how to put it, but I keep finding us anywhere near situations like that.
What do you do?
What
do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Just office work.
What's he do?
He's in entertainment more. He does, like, modeling and...
Aha. Uh-huh. What year were you born?
What year? 73.
Wait a minute. 73?
Doesn't work.
Said you were 27.
Jenny?
Sorry, baby doll. Yeah.
Did you just put her on hold, or she bailed out now?
I don't understand why you... I don't know.
Now, listen, you said you're born in 73 and you were 27.
Well, I don't want anyone to know who I am. You know, I'm just nervous that somebody who I know might hear this.
It's just not fitting for us. This isn't a real thing. This isn't how it was.
We're not moved.
We can tell sort of by how people feel when things are real, and we can tell by the kinds of things people ask and the situations
they try to paint. I'm nervous.
All right, so Jenny, here's the deal. We're going to hang up on you anyway, so tell us if this is bogus or not.
It's not, I promise. Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right. I just got bogus.
Yeah, I still did, too.
Yeah, I just couldn't stop. And the fact that she...
kept asking the questions, how old am I? What do I do? And she lied about her age.
Whatever.
Screwed up her math there. But, you know, she covered that. She said, but here's the whole thing. If you're gonna make up an age, you gotta do the age math too, especially if you're trying to get into a club.
The other thing, there's sort of no question there. It's like, hey, if you're worried the guy's gay, discuss with him his sexual preference. What do you want? There's no question here.
Yeah,
no question.
We don't have super sensitive guys that are real neat around the house that are really big into the
And yeah, and if that's your guy, we don't know that it means anything, so you're going to have to talk to him.
But ironically, the guys that are really into that with women are very far away from that with guys.
Yes, yes.
They're usually more
messy,
hetero
yeah.
than anybody else you know.
Yeah.
All right, but...
Now, they're kind of gay coming around the other side.
Yeah.
Except they're so hetero. They're
They start getting into that like Roman gay.
Yes, exactly.
Which is I'll just bang any. Right. Hey, you got a teenage boy?
Right.
He's hairless. I'm horny. I'll give it to him.
Right.
I give it to the cat. I don't care. Yeah. Cabangula.
Liz. Liz.
Yes.
16. What's up?
Okay. Well, I'm kind of in this older, younger relationship type thing. It's not really a relationship, but...
What is it?
It's, well, we have sex.
All right.
That would be a relationship.
Yeah.
Especially from your end. You've got to be completely into this guy.
I am.
Yeah. Who are you kidding? Oh, that's just horrible for you, Liz.
No.
The reason you're kidding yourself into it not being a relationship is you know he's not into it as a relationship. And so you're subjugating yourself to this damn thing. He's never going to come along for anything more than what this is.
How old is the guy? 11?
He's 21.
Oh, he's older.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Interesting. I was way off on that one.
But he's like, it's like we were together for a while. We were actually boyfriend and girlfriend. And mm-hmm. it kind of ended because things went messy on my behalf because I was really involved in school and stuff.
How dare you?
What?
How dare you?
What do you mean it went messy on your behalf?
That's ridiculous.
No, I mean, because I go to a private all-girls boarding school.
Slow down.
So it's kind of like a lot of my time is taken up by that. And he works nights, so we never got to see each other.
And so that's why you broke up?
Kind of.
Really?
Kind of?
Was it your idea to break up?
No, it was his.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
And then, like... Lately,
well, don't call the show. Unless you guys have, he has a little service agreement with you.
I have a problem.
He broke up with you, and you're making it seem like you broke up with him because of your schoolwork.
And hold on. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tomorrow there's this party, and I know he's going to be there. Mm. And, like, I was up there about a week ago, and we were hanging out and made out and stuff. And then Friday night, I went up there, and he had some girl over there. And things were awkward, and I told his younger brother, who's one of my really close friends. Mm. And I'm just wondering if tomorrow I go up there and he's good to me and starts acting like the right way, I want to say.
Yeah.
Liz, right. This guy's he's a criminal, and he listen, stop it. Stop it. He's an idiot and a criminal. He's having sex with a 16-year-old. He is an idiot.
And he works nights.
Wait till you're 21 and look back and think, oh, my God, who were the 21-year-olds that would be having sex with 16-year-olds?
What time is
it? Like, yeah, if you look at us, like, mentally, we're almost the same age.
No.
No, you're smarter. Yes, I mean.
You're not a criminal either.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Please, Liz, you're smarter than this. You go to that all-girls boarding school. You guys are having your little panty raids.
Yeah, that's
pillow fights. Everyone running around with those frilly panties on. You don't need this guy. Stop pissing your dad off. You're just trying to anger your dad. That's all that is. Get away from this guy.
Michelle, 22.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. Here's the deal with this. I've been diabetic for over 12 years and severely out of control. I have to admit I'm not a good diabetic, and I'm not proud of that. But I know that there's a link between, you know, sexual dysfunction or sexual appetite and diabetes. I heard probably 5 years ago that the number one medical reason for not having a sexual appetite was diabetes.
And not just libido, but also your sexual responsiveness, orgasm, all that gets screwed up. You get neuropathy. Do you have neuropathy?
No. What is neuropathy?
Numbness in your feet, burning in your feet?
No, I haven't. I'm fortunate that I haven't experienced any problems with it so far.
Well, but if you've been not attending to your diabetes, have you been hospitalized for diabetic ketoacidosis?
Once.
All right, so you've been really fooling around with your life here.
Yeah.
You will have that causes neuropathy, that causes eye damage, that causes kidney problems. You can't do that and not have those problems.
Right.
How bad they are is really what the question is. And the sex the sexual response of biology is very sensitive to all this, and that's the first thing to go. I mean, that's how I get the male young male patients to attend to their diabetes, by telling them they're not going to get erections, and they lose it quite readily. They lose it very early. Yeah.
Now, is it something that I can control just with the diabetes? I mean,
The only thing you can do, well, you can take Viagra. It's designed for this kind of thing. In some women, it's shown to have some benefit. But you can have fastidious control of your blood sugar. I mean, exercise regularly, follow a diabetic diet, and absolutely careful, fastidious control of your blood sugar.
How do you do that? What's a diabetic diet?
Diabetic diet is a balance of fat and protein and sugar that comes in certain, you know, basically it's 40-30-30 kind of diet.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, regular diets or regular intervals with a nighttime snack and insulin with each meal. I mean, I usually recommend my young diabetic patients to be taking insulin 5 times a day.
You have to shoot it?
Oh, yeah. How many times a day are you taking insulin?
Anywhere from 2 to 3, 4 times a day.
You ever been referred for a pump?
Yes. They said that was, would be a miracle thing for me, because back when I got diagnosed, it wasn't around. And,
so why don't you do it?
Because you have to be tightly controlled before they'll allow you to do that.
There you go. You got to get that control really tight. That's the only thing that's going to help this. And exercise.
What's the exercise do?
It helps. It just improves your insulin utilization, basically.
And what's the pump?
And blood flow.
Pump.
Diabetes is a microvascular disease. Basically, it does its damage by damaging the very, very, very small vessels that supply the nerves and the organs and the nerves to the sexual. Right. Areas is part of the problem.
Right, yeah. Well, what's the pump do?
Pump is just gives continuous insulin like your pancreas does.
Where do they put it?
Basically, your leg.
Do you have to pump it?
No, it's like a little tiny infusion pump.
Does it run off anything?
Battery, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And does it have a reservoir of insulin?
Mm-hmm.
And they can fill it through your belly button?
No.
Yeah.
You have to keep reloading it. It just goes under your skin, basically.
How often you got to reload it?
Susan, my wife, had one of those for tributyline to prevent preterm labor, and we think we did it every 2 days or 3 days.
So it holds so many cc's, and you got to refill that, but you don't have to give yourself a shot.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just continuous.
Good times.
Yeah, it's good times.
All right. What do we got to do? Take a break?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
All right.
We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, the Stacked Rope. Over here in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That's got to sound good.
Oh,
this now is PJ. We're doing Little Dawson's Creek out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, yeah? And this is PJ, it's 31. PJ?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Barely hear you.
You there?
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, I got a quick question. Married, my wife's 35. I would say we got great sex life and everything, but I'm just curious, sometimes when she does orgasm, she actually passes out. Is that a biological thing, physical thing?
It's a physical thing, and it's actually fairly serious. It's probably something called a vagal reaction, where the nerve that's responsible for slowing the heart down becomes overactive, and the heart rate drops to a level that is not consistent with consciousness.
It's a syndrome called Bangus Bejesus Contagiosum, Drew, that PJ may be doing. Is it?
Well, hey, I mean, everything's good and healthy, man. I mean, we got great sex drive, but, you know, I'm just curious, you know.
Here's the deal. It's the equivalent of what people used to do when they fainted and swooned, you know, like in the old movies. But it can be a sign of a very serious heart condition, and so it is something that absolutely should be looked into, okay?
Okay.
Does she hyperventilate?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, not really. I mean,
all right.
Yeah, it's probably just one of these vasovagal reactions and not a big deal. But just because it could be something more, it needs to be checked out. This is Jason.
And they'll test that by taking her to a cardiologist. He'll put her on a treadmill, bang the bejesus out of her, and then see if she.
It's science.
They just technically used a treadmill to bend her over. I think they used a railing part there. See, people are confused about being put on the treadmill all the time. A lot of that's just sex, right, Drew?
Yeah.
I'm just saying a lot of lay people don't understand that.
Yeah, it's stress evaluation. You got to stress the system.
Okay. All right.
Jason, 20.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
How you guys doing?
Good. Well, you know. We've been better.
It's 3 in the morning
almost
here.
Almost 3 out here.
Yeah. Well, I got one question. I'm 20 years old and I'm dating a 38-year-old. Is there anything wrong with that?
Not yet.
No, but did she just come off a long-term relationship?
Or a divorce or something?
She's going through one right now. We've been seeing each other for about 8 months.
All
right,
so what we find is that women that age who are coming off a nasty divorce will sort of look for a boy toy, a young male that they can just kind of hang out with, and they don't really see it as a relationship. And sometimes they will develop feelings for that guy, but oftentimes that guy gets hurt.
Okay. Well,
are you in love with her?
Actually, yeah. I asked her to marry me, and she said yes.
Ooh, while she's still getting divorced?
Yeah.
How many kids does... How many kids... you're lucky we don't have a cider jug sound effect. This may go lower than banjo. How many kids does she have?
Four.
Four?
Oh, my God.
Jason.
Yeah.
Now you're 20.
Yep.
How are you going to support those kids?
Actually, the oldest one is my age.
Oh.
We just played Bakersfield.
Hey, it's Bakersfield.
Wait, you're calling from Bakersfield?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. This is a normal family system in Bakersfield.
You're in Wilmington, Bakersfield? Shocking. All right. Well, he may be the mayor of Bakersfield for all we know. Jason, are you in city government at all?
No.
No. What do you do over there?
Actually, I work for Colombo, and I'm an iron worker.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
All right. So solving crime and working with iron. What's Colombo?
It's just a big-time construction company around here.
Oh, all right. All right. Are you union?
No.
You got to get in that union. That's where you get the big bucks for doing nothing. That's why they have unions, Drew.
I see.
All right. So, listen, Jason. I know your situation. Life's been a little bit tough. You're a hard-working guy. Tough Bakersfield type. Not had a ton of ladies in your day. I mean, they haven't all been falling at your feet. And the ones that have fell have been fat and drunk.
Or dead.
Or dead, possibly. And now you got something, and you're grabbing onto it with both hands.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this thing can't work, but I'm saying slow it down just a little bit.
Yeah, you're taking on
you're
a lot.
You're 20. Man. She's got a 20-year-old. You say the oldest one is your age, but that means she's got three that are younger than that, right?
That you're going to have to support.
No, she's, the other one's 18, and she's on her own already.
All right. But this young lady is 38, was pregnant at 17, pregnant at 18, got a messy divorce going on. I'm just saying, I'm not saying you're not in love. I'm just saying slow it down a little
bit. Yeah, we're not saying don't date her. We're just saying, hey, you only date her a few months.
You're 20. And... Yeah, that's right. Don't rush. Don't set the marriage date. Just give it a year,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And don't be cranking out a bunch of kids with her. All right. What is that compulsion?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sort of, I got to dive right in.
Yeah.
It, you know what it is? It's guys that have not had their share in high school. There was no college years. They just when they started, dropped out of high school and started working at 17. Working around a bunch of filthy guys with hair all over them, and now something comes along with a vagina, and it's like, well, this is it, boys. I'm in. I'm never going back. I mean, you would have done this with everything, but there was no commitment. You know what I mean? I mean, what if you had to commit to driving the first car you got your entire life?
Right,
what if you had to commit to your first apartment your entire life?
You know what? You'd do it.
You would.
Yeah, because that's it. Doesn't get better than that.
If you've been walking.
You made it. You've arrived.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been riding a moped for 5 years and an Impala comes along that's got a little rust on the body,
but runs
clean, you would have signed right on the dotted line, I'll drive this car forever, and you'd be miserable in 5 years. All right.
And yet when you're signing, you could not imagine being less than ecstatic your whole life with it.
Absolutely not.
What are you doing there?
What I would have signed for. Let's see what time it is. Hi, where are we?
We're talking to Edward, 16.
Edward?
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, hi. Okay, I was wondering, when I get off, I can get off by thinking of guys and girls.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. And when I watch porn and stuff like that, you know.
One ball's straight, one ball's gay. That's how that works. I got that.
Does that make me bi?
Makes your balls
it makes you nothing right now. It makes you into guys and girls, and you'll kind of see how these things sort out. You're only 16. Relax.
Do you look at gay porn?
What?
Do you look at gay porn?
No. No, just, you know, when I'm watching porn, you know, the guys and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you can focus on the guy. Yeah, all right. Sound a little depressed, Edward.
What?
All right, hang up on it. I'm tired of him. I get bogus from him, too, by the way.
No.
You know?
Mm-mm.
It sounded like he was some guy was doing semi-4 in the living room. He has, was trying to read
have,
him.
He doesn't have enough energy to be bogus. Joey, 32.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I have a question for Dr. Drew, actually.
Yeah?
My girlfriend has I'm not going to say this right, endometriosis.
Yep, you said it right.
She's had it for a while. And recently she decided to start taking Zoloft again. She was prescribed maybe 2 years ago, but this is without her doctor's notice.
Well, she's got to talk to her doctor about it. It may be the right thing for her, but she's got to be supervised for that.
Right.
Most people that need Zoloft do need it for a long period of time, so it's not unreasonable that she be back on it. But it's not a treatment for endometriosis. It's a treatment for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's obviously a treatment for depression. And if her endometriosis or pelvic pain isn't, in fact, from endometriosis, which if she was sexually abused or something, then the Zoloft may have some benefit there.
We'll be right back. Is dysphoric the opposite of euphoric?
Yes.
All right. Then we'll be back.
Yeah.
Our engineer out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, for helping us out tonight and all week long. And special thanks to Anderson, who's working overtime over there, making the show happen from Los Angeles.
We're going to see if we get some Dawson's Creek guests up here during the week.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody up here.
Yeah. Okay. Will you tell me which ones are stars, Drew, and I'll get them.
All right.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
This guy's he's a criminal, and he listen, stop it. Stop it. He's an idiot and a criminal.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.